Hallelujah. Aren't you glad the name of Jesus lifted you one day? Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, singers and musicians. The song fits well with our lesson this morning that we're going to teach. Won't be too long. Try to hurry on best we can. We got a lot of activities this afternoon. And Lord willing, if it doesn't rain us out, I don't think it will, we'll come inside. Amen. But the title of this lesson this morning, I called it Lifting Up Christ. And I tell you, we have to lift Him up. Brother Gidrose said it very well last Sunday when he talked about we have to be worshipers. And we have to praise Him and give Him thanks. He dwells in the praise of His people. We all know that. But we have to come to Him in worship. But I tell you, we have to... I hadn't put it all together yet, but we have to get to the point that Jesus Christ can crush us. We have to get to a pressing place. And I thought about Jesus and all His teaching. About 75 or 80% of His teaching was around Galilee. He was in Jerusalem from time to time. But I thought about all the things He said, the wonderful words and all the miracles that He performed, and His disciples were right there with Him. And He communed with God Himself, by Himself several times. The Scripture bears that out. But the time that He got down to where the rubber meets the road, to the brass tack, so to speak, was in an olive grove in Gethsemane. And I tell you, the Lord, God began to crush Him. And if you know anything about the olive presses over there, all that's left is the pulp. But that precious oil that runs out is what God is looking for us, from us. I tell you, there's healing, salvation, and the oil of the Holy Ghost. Lord, crush me until the very best in me comes out. That's what I want to be. I want to be in that pressing place. And I think that's where we have to get sometimes, that the Lord can get the best of us. Amen, amen. This lesson is going to deal with the subject of lifting up Christ. The following three subjects will show how Christ was lifted up. He was lifted up on the cross, He was lifted from the grave, and He was lifted into heaven. Amen. And these events are the very basis for the gospel, or the good news of Jesus Christ. But I tell you, all the glory, the power and of these marvelous things, they would be very fruitless if we do not receive them in our heart and Jesus Christ is not lifted up in our life. They would be of no effect if we don't take these things, this gospel of Jesus Christ, and also lift Him up in our life. And my prayers, God, help us to do just that. Amen, amen. In this house of worship, that's what we're supposed to do. Amen. We're supposed to lift up Christ. And you can remain seated. You've been standing in worship. John chapter 12, verse 32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. I tell you, the crowd that day could not believe that the Messiah was going to die. They thought He was going to set up a political kingdom and a religious kingdom that would never end. The Jews basically wanted a Messiah that was pretty much like King David. A man after God's own heart, was willing to let the blood flow if need be. Several times David, one time he was stopped by Abigail, I believe it was. I mean, when he went down to ask help from Nabal, and Nabal said, I don't even know David. And David had been protecting Nabal's interest. Went back to camp, told everybody, buckle up your sword, boys. There's going to be a bloodletting. Let's go. Of course, you know the story how Abigail intervened. But he was a man after God's own heart, and that's what the Jews wanted in a kingdom and in a leader. But Jesus' words did not fit their concept of the Messiah. And I tell you, we don't need to try to put Jesus into our own mold. He's not going to fit. Amen. Amen. He's got his own way of doing and completing his will. And the context, if you read the scripture, you know that it was showing about speaking of the cross. And this claim, this astonishing claim being made by this obscure Galilean carpenter. And Jesus lived in the city of Nazareth, a town that was looked down on by many. You know, and people, you know, may say, well, why was the man of that town? I'll tell you what, there's some places that's not well kept that I wouldn't want to live. And that's the way Nazareth was. A lot of people looked down on Nazareth. It just wasn't the kind of town or the city anybody would want to be from. But that's where Jesus Christ lived. He was relatively unknown, had no formal education, no religious or political connections. And his disciples were very few. And even his own siblings, his brothers and sisters, they weren't too impressed with him at first. But everybody was not only astonished at his saying about being lifted up and drawn up, but were confused about the very meaning of this thing. They just couldn't conceive of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, being lifted up on a cross and dying on a cross. They could not foresee that the very redemption plan of God would be that Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, be put on a wooden Roman cross of shame and die there, even though the prophets had foretold of it years ago. That just was not their idea of their Messiah. And they couldn't see him dying like a common criminal. But I tell you what, who could have ever thought that the cross would pretty much be the hinge that the door of history would swing on? At that moment, because of his sacrifice, Jesus Christ promised and delivered forgiveness of sin, resurrection from the dead, and hope of eternal life. That's what it's all about, y'all. Amen. Amen. Paul wrote, keep praying for my allergy, sister Cheryl. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, 1st chapter, verse 18, talking about the cross. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. They don't think anything about it. They don't think anything of it. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. You better believe in the cross because it is the power of God. Amen. And what the cross means. Amen. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. But God forbid, this is Paul talking, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. I tell you what, Paul didn't want any glory. If you're going to be in it, let it go toward the cross. That's where the glory ought to be, not in me. I'm just a simple servant. I'm just a spokesman. But the power and the glory should go to the cross. I tell you, sometimes we major in the minors, so to speak. And it was back in that day. Some Jews, they would emphasize circumcision as proof of holiness, but ignore other Jewish laws. And sometimes that happens today. People will often choose some principle or some prohibition and make it a measuring rod of faith. Some may abhor drunkenness, but they will tolerate gluttony. Some people might despise promiscuity, but they will tolerate prejudice. I am telling you this morning, the Bible in its entirety is our rule of faith and practice. We can't take a penknife and cut out what we want to keep and cut out what we want to throw away. Like it said in Jeremiah, we cannot pick and choose the mandates that we will follow. We must all go to the cross. Amen. And find salvation and live by the Word of God. Whether we like it or not, the Bible says we're made in the image of God, and that means we all possess an eternal spirit. Every last one of you, when it's all said and done, you're not going to be just a little pile of dust like you never existed. You have an eternal spirit inside of you. And make no mistake, we will live forever somewhere. We're going to live forever somewhere. It's our choice. Amen. So I say, let the power of the cross urge us to remember that the price Jesus Christ paid for your salvation and for my salvation. Thank God for the cross. As cruel as it was, thank God for the cross. He was lifted on the cross. The next thing, Christ was lifted from the grave. Of course, we all know the story after he gave up his life and he was put in a grave. Matthew chapter 28, starting with the first verse. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, isn't that something? It don't say nothing about the women falling down. Thank God for women. Good, strong women. Here's a bunch of strong men supposed to lay like dead men. But the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and they shall, and there shall they see me. I tell you, the angel gave those women four messages in that one scripture. Don't be frightened. Resurrection brings joy. It doesn't bring fear. Amen. Amen. That's why we shouldn't fear death. If you're right with God, resurrection is going to bring joy. It's not going to bring fear. The next thing is, he isn't here. He's alive. He made good on his promise. He told them, come in and see for yourself. Check for yourself. Come see where he lay. He's no longer here. Go it quickly and tell. That means we got to spread the joy. The joy of the resurrection. I briefly told you about the cross, and you can read about the cross and what it means. But I'll tell you what Paul talked about in the power of his resurrection. Amen. You know, people might not have thought a whole lot about killing Jesus, but I tell you, for him to come out of that grave in 3 days, now that's something to talk about. Amen. Amen. The power of his resurrection. And We were fortunate enough to go visit what is considered the tomb of Jesus Christ in the garden, in close to the Golgotha, where he was crucified. And they rated this place an A site, which means it more than likely this is the very place where Jesus Christ was buried. They had excavated down from the street level down about, oh, it looked like about 30 feet, and found this tomb. And if you read the book of Mark, the Bible says that they put him in that tomb, and I'm paraphrasing here, because of its close proximity to Golgotha. The Bible said it was near. And the Bible also says when they went in, turned to the right, they turned to the right, and that's where the stone was, or the bed was that he lay. The Bible bears that out. Read the book of Mark about it. So we went into this tomb, and sure enough, to the right is where the slab was, where he lay. And you can tell it's a tomb that no man had ever used because there was only one slab in it. What they would do, they would carve out slabs as family members died, and they would bury them all in this same tomb. But this tomb only had one, that they, and it was to the right as you enter the tomb. And I never will forget, me and my brother and two or three other guys in our little group, they were letting them go in three or four at a time. There was five of us. And the leader said, y'all hold up. I want these five to go in together. Well, that was a big mistake. I tell you what, we like to run over one another in that tomb and trying to get out that little door, shouting because he's not here. Come see where he lay. Go and tell that he's not dead, he's alive. I tell you, it was one of the few places, I say few, one of the places that really touched us. You know, when you think about standing in the place, and when we were in the Garden of Gethsemane in that olive grove, you know, I prayed, I said, Lord, I don't know if I'm anywhere near where you knelt down that night. But I tell you, when we got up from that place about an hour later, almost exhausted from praying and trying to touch the heart of God in that place, I'm telling you, there is power in resurrection. The same Spirit that resurrected him, the Bible says, is going to quicken your mortal body. I tell you, there is power in resurrection. We're supposed to spread the good news of the resurrection. And I'm telling you, the story of resurrection, it is a fact. It is not fiction. I read something in the paper or magazine or something the other day. I was reading, a guy was talking about Jesus Christ and his existence. And he said, if he ever lived, or if he ever existed, or if there ever was a man named, all he got to do is read history. Just read history. Whether you follow him or not, he was a human. He was God manifest in the flesh, walking on the face of this earth. I got news for you. He was on this earth. It is a fact. And our Christian faith today is totally dependent on the fact that there was a resurrection of Jesus as recorded in the Scriptures. If there would be no resurrection, it would be useless or meaningless for us to follow him. Amen. Amen. Paul summed up the importance of the resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting with verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. In other words, if he didn't rise, we're not going to rise. But he did rise, and we will rise. Amen. Amen. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If I had no hope beyond this life, if all I did and all we did was come together as an assembly in this building and tell others about Christ and there was nothing to it and no resurrection, I tell you, we'd be most miserable. We're spinning our wheels. We're wasting our